This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. It is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, you can go to deliberatenoise.com. You can send feedback by leaving a message on the website. You can join the Facebook page. I don't know why I keep saying join the Facebook page. All I have to do is like it. You join Facebook groups. You like Facebook pages. Anyway, you can also go ahead and send me an email. My email address is Derek, it's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Sorry, brain freeze for a second. Oh, excuse me, allergies. You can also call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. Hold on one quick second. All right, sorry about that. I did all of the business of the show. Yesterday, and yeah, I do mean yesterday, I'm recording this on 10/12/2013, I finished reading World War Z, a book by Max Brooks, and I also watched the World War Z movie starring Brad Pitt. I started reading the book first. I'm going to put this without sounding too disgusting. But I have ulcerative colitis, and if anyone knows what that means, or Crohn's disease, then you know what a flare-up will entail. I was having a flare-up, and since I was, I had time to sit and think, I started reading a book. And that book just happened to be World War Z. I bought it not a long time ago, maybe a month or two before the flare-up, but I started reading the book, and I thought it was fascinating. I'm not a big zombie guy. I'm not a big fan of zombies. I like the book Walking Dead. Not a big fan of the TV show. Trying to think. I liked, Night of the Comet when I was a kid, but that really wasn't zombies, was it? I can't remember now. Let me think. 28 Days Later wasn't a zombie film either. They had like a rage virus. They were infected, which was, you know, they're fast. If anything, they could be fast zombies, which I don't necessarily like. Oh, I have seen both Dawn of the Deads. I actually prefer the remake to the original. The original had that biker gang scene, and that just lost me. You know, that and the very ending, because the ending changed, and the original ending that they had was much more appropriate for a zombie film, because I have seen zombie films. I'm just not one of those guys who will rush out to go see a new zombie film, and I don't like zombie video games. I don't know. It just never done anything for me. But anyway, so I read this book, and I forgot why I went out and bought it specifically. But I bought it probably around the same time that I pre-ordered the Blu-ray. So maybe that had something to do with it. I don't remember, you know. But It is called, and it's upstairs, so I can't really get it. But I know it's something called like the Oral History of the Zombie War. Yeah. And basically what it is, if you haven't read the book, it is, the main conceit of the book is that we have this author who's going around at least, I think I said around, the impression I got was this around 10 years after the zombie war, quote unquote, ended. And he is interviewing a bunch of people who were there, you know, people who had, you know, some of them who had gained some sort of celebrity from it, some people who were like celebrities beforehand, but everybody had something to do with the war. And he does a really good job of making it seem like a world war. You know, a lot of times when you have stories about World War II, they are set either in Germany, or they're set in France, or there's, you know, someplace in Europe, or Japan, you know, or if it's a World War II story about America, then it's about the homeland, you know, looking for smugglers and stuff like that. But you get the impression that there are stories going on, but how to put this? 100 years from now, if somebody watched one of those movies, they would think that the World War II really was not a world war, you know? Most stories about World War II or World War I, they don't really have the world as their scope. You know, they say, well, this is too big, so we're going to narrow it down. You narrow it down too much. If everybody narrows it down, then, like I said, you lose scope. But this book doesn't lose scope at all, you know. There's a lot of globe hopping, and everything is told pretty much from first person, but they're different people. They're different first people telling this. And I'll tell you right now, well, I like the book. I like the way it's formatted. It's actually formatted very easy for segment reading, which is pretty much what I do. I'll read a segment here, I'll read a segment there. I just can't sit down for several hours and read a book, although funnily that's what I did to finish it. But I like that. However, I will say that even though they're these supposed to be different people with different voices, they all kind of sound the same. So, if you've ever read the book, The Executioner's Song, which is about Gary Gilmore, who was I think he killed two, possibly three people in Utah. And then he was eventually executed by the state of Utah by firing squad. Norman Mailer told his story by going and interviewing hundreds of people who knew Gary and just the people who were around him. And, you know, some of those paragraphs of interviews could have been like, you know, 4 or 5 pages, or other time it could have just been like a paragraph or two. But the amazing part about that is you kind of knew when it went from one person to another, even if you didn't know who was doing the actual speaking. You could tell because the tone was just like really different, you know, the words that they used and how they used them. It was just different. Oh, it's just an excellent book. Even if you're not a true crime aficionado, I really think that Executioner's Song is really a book worth reading. If you like, number one, if you like dialogue, if you like the usage of words, and if you like hearing other people's voices in the written word, you know, that's definitely a book that's worth reading. And it's kind of one I wish that he that I don't know if Max Brooks had ever read it, but while it had a similar format, like I said, the tone was way off. It's kind of like you could tell that this was the same person over and over again who was doing the writing. But it didn't matter to me because it's still a very good book. I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. Once again, even if you're not a big zombie person, the one thing I really liked about it is that he actually put a lot of thought into how the world would change through something like this and why it would change. Just really a really good, fascinating book. He put a lot of thought in it. Yeah, so I really recommend the book. Now the movie, one thing that I went into the movie knowing, in fact, I think that might have been why I did it, because when the movie came out, I kept hearing the same thing. If you like the book, you will hate the movie. And if you liked the movie, don't bother with the book. You know, I said that's our challenge accepted. I had to read both of them. I think I had to read and watch both of them. I had to consume both pieces of pop culture. And I'll tell you right now that if you are not a comic book fan, you will probably have that same reaction. Now, the reason I say that is this. I'm a comic book fan. I'm a big comic book fan. I have been reading comic books for as long as I can remember. My mother doesn't even know when I first started reading comic books. She said that I've been reading since I was one. She thought I just memorized the shape of Coca-Cola, you know, and I knew that that's what that said until she actually, I think, wrote it down and wrote a bunch of other words down and I could read it at one. I was shitting my pants, but I could still read. Come on now. That'd probably be me in my 80s. I'll still be shitting my pants, but I could still read. Hopefully. Anyway, I've been reading comic books for my mother. She said that one day they weren't around the house, and the next day I was reading them. She didn't even know where it came from. All right. My first comic book memory, clear comic book memory, is an old Lee and Kirby Fantastic Four. But the very first comic book cover I remember was a Superman cover. Okay. I know, and they are so close that I've been trying to remember for years which came first. But anyway, the thing I'm going to bring out is that when you are a comic book reader for as long as I am, there are certain things that we can do that other people cannot do. And one of those things is that we can juggle multiple storylines in our head, right? I don't know a single comic book fan who just reads one book at a time. And I'm not talking about comics, I'm talking about bookie books. They don't read just one at a time, right? And if they do read one, then they put down and pick up another one, and they pick the first one up again, they remember where they're at, because that's par for the course when you're a comic book fan. You read multiple titles, therefore there are multiple storylines, multiple characters. We can keep all that straight in our head, right? It's nothing you can teach. It's just a reflex, you know? And another thing that we have come to be able to do that a lot of non-comic book readers have problems doing, we can keep alternate realities of the same story in our head, okay? We know that... plus we keep ultimate realities, period. You know, we can keep the DC and Marvel universes separate, right? We can keep the DC comic book universe is separate from the DC television universe, which is, Smallville and Arrow and Birds of Prey, even though those are all different in their own universes. We can keep that separate from the DC Cinematic Universe, which is the Dark Knight movies by Christopher Nolan and Man of Steel, which is going to lead into a Justice League movie. And keep all that straight from Marvel Comics and their animated universes and their cinematic universe. And one thing that we can definitely keep track of is the difference between the comic book and the movies. We know that they make changes for the movies for the Hollywood types. And I'm not talking about just through the studios and the people who create movies, but also the people who go and watch movies, who consume them without consuming the quote unquote source material. Right. And if we have consumed both the source material and what's on the screen, the second that we, you know, we will try to reconcile the both of them together. And as soon as we see something that is a major departure, then okay, the universe. That's a long way to go to saying that if you look at the movie World War Z as being an untold story of the book, then quite frankly it doesn't really work. You know, well, I should say works up to a point. But then once you get to a spot where it's like, I don't remember it being like that in a book, then that's when you have to realize this is a alternate World War Z universe. Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you when that came for me, but it came very early in the movie. You know what? I'll tell you right now. This is kind of a spoiler, but at the same time, it's not really a spoiler for both the book and the movie. So if you want to skip ahead about a minute or so, I'll give you some time. And let me make sure that I do this just right. All right, I'm going to give you spoiler space now. All right, 5 seconds should be enough so that they come back in 1750. All right. In the book, it was established very specifically that the zombies could not run. In the movie, the first zombie you see was a runner. Okay. I mean, they was very specific. In fact, part of the book, they even said, you know, wow, these zombies were fast. And if they were fast zombies, then we're shit out of luck. And then it turned out to be something completely different. So just flat out, there are no fast zombies in the book. Nothing but fast zombies in the movie. All right. Now I'm just going to stop talking. It should be the rest of the spoiler people should be coming back any second now. All right. There you go. There was your minute. And there were spoilers all through there. I even revealed the secret of life. Oh, such a shit. Anyway, so yeah, if you can keep those two separate and realize that they're separate universes, not necessarily separate interpretations, but truly separate interpretations. For example, in the Batman movies, the two Batman movies done by Tim Burton and the two done by Joel Schumacher are technically in the same universe. They are just different interpretations of the character and the world. one was really good, one was really not. But this is not a reinterpretation. This is like a whole new thing. Just if you can, once you go into it realizing that, then I think you'll enjoy both of them. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. You know, it was a totally different thing, just like I enjoyed the book for what it was, which is a totally different thing. And I don't mix the two up. It's simple as that. So if you read the book, then saw the movie, and then didn't like the movie because it was so different from the book, watch it again. But just, like I said, keep in mind that this is an entirely different universe. You know, try to see it as its own thing, and I think that you will enjoy it a lot better. I actually recommend both of them if you can keep it separate. If you have trouble keeping both of them separate, then I would recommend you read the book over the movie, because I think that the book goes into a lot more detail. It was a lot more complete of a story that I wanted. I still had questions going out of the movie for that universe, you know what I mean? But on top of that, there's a sequel. I know that the director of the first movie would not be for the second one, but I don't know if Brad Pitt is going to be in it, because quite frankly, the story they told, they could bring him back and it could be his franchise character. But at the same time, if they decided to go on without him, he's really not necessarily 100% needed for that world, you know. They could get another big name actor to take his place. Not the character's place, but a whole new character. Hopefully they would go that route and not go like the Jack Ryan route for those Tom Clancy movies, which, by the way, RIP Tom Clancy. I liked his work. I really did. I know a lot of people thought it was just like overly jingoistic, militaristic, militarial, whatever that word is, you know what I mean? But, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. You know, I thought that he told good stories, you know, and he put a lot of military technology into his stories, but who cares? I liked it. Anyway, one thing I did like about the book, and I really didn't mean to bring it up, I don't know if Michael Crichton read it before he died. I don't know if there was any kind of overlap. I don't remember when Michael Crichton died exactly. And I definitely don't remember when he died in relation to the book's release, but I think that he would have dug it, because when it comes to doing a lot of research, a lot of science fiction authors that I have read seem to just like make it up, you know? And I realize that that's just stuff that I have read, you know? But it seems like Max Brooks did a lot of research into what could happen. You know, what could happen if we just changed this, or what would happen if this happened, that kind of thing. And that's kind of the same thing I got from a lot of Michael Crichton books, especially Andromeda Strain, which I love that book. Even Jurassic Park, you know, because even though it's been proven scientifically that they could not take dinosaur DNA from like amber, at least he thought, hey, what if they could, you know? And Scott Sigler is another one like that. He'll take a little grain of what can happen and then just blow it all up, you know? And I like that. But yeah, if you know some other books that like that, if you can tell me some other science fiction oral history type books, not just first person, right? Not everything is in first person. I've read first person books before, and it just seems like they all are trying to be Raymond Chandler with ray guns, but sort of like that, where there's different voices in a book and it's well researched as to what could happen. Drop me a line. Email is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or, like I said, leave an audio comment line. If you don't want the audio comment play, just say, hey, don't play this. This is just for you. You know, either one. I'm cool with it, you know. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode. Oh, and I want to apologize for all the sniffing. Allergies, man. Allergies.
couple of wrinkles deep.